Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One thing I do look through the lens of, we had to go to some like training at work, and then we had to read all these like classics. One of the readings was about an 80-year-old man who had to talk to his 25-year-old self.
This is me and Chris having a conversation right now. Sorry, the joke was right there. I had to take it. I'm so sorry.
Let me just say, I'm coming to Vancouver in April, and I'm not scared to bring a knife.
I'm so sorry. The joke was right there.
It
you
was
can't
really
not take the opportunity.
Oh my God, you are so amazing. I can't. Yep. I don't even want to go on.
You're gonna lose your metabolism too. Your cheeks are gonna sink from here to here.
Not if I get filler.
Oh, you don't want to get
buccal fat removal. I've been talking about buccal fat removal
and Botox. And then we had to do an exercise like, well, if you're talking to your 80-year-old self, what do you want to hear from that person? So
not what Mary just said.
Literally
gay presenting Asian podcasters.
Literally gaysian.
Hello, everyone. This is Literally Gaysians with Chris and Bao, a podcast where two gay Asian guys, aka Gaysians.
Gaysians.
Gay presenting Asian podcasters.
Get real about their feelings and literally Gaysian stuff.
And today we are entering the Gaysian podcaster multiverse. We're doing our first crossover episode ever with the boys at the podcast, Why Won't You Love Yourself?
Or is it Why Don't You Love Yourself?
It's Why Won't You Love Yourself. I don't know. We'll ask them.
You know, when we decided to launch this podcast, we realized there weren't many other queer Asian podcasts except for Why Won't Don't You Love Yourself? And we loved it.
So good.
And they cover topics like dating, sex, EDC, their feelings, and I guess spitting kinks.
Definitely spitting kinks. And as with most multiverses, our universes combined when Lee and I, so Lee is a host of that podcast, bumped into each other at a party and became friends. Ever since then, we've been trying to get together to do an episode.
They're always traveling. They're always spitting each other's mouths, so we never could get a hold of them until now. And that episode starts in just a few moments because first, we're going to call out, no, shout out to our new Patreon subscribers.
So the last episode and last week, we launched our Patreon because we needed help funding the production of this podcast. So here's a huge plug for you to join us at patreon.com/literallygaysians and consider signing up for a paid subscription. Give us some of your coins to support us.
You really dated yourself doing forward slash.
Forward slash.
Literally gaysians.
Let's get to the shout outs. There are new Patreon subscribers. And what we're going to do, we're going to guess what kind of gaysian you are based on your name. If we don't know you. But if we do know you, we're going to guess what you're wearing.
First up, our first Patreon subscriber is named G. Thank you, G.
So mysterious.
Mysterious, I know. I might know you. I don't know. It's not too clear because all I've got been given is the name G. And you subscribe for a whole entire year up front. But we really appreciate it. And what you sound like, G, is a person with 2 to 2.5 sleeve tattoos. And maybe you work at an insurance company on the weekdays. But on the weekends, you go at Switch or at Rise. And it's not for the money.
Kevin Nguyen.
Community. It's very Kevin Nguyen, the queer version.
Next up is Bukoy Brown. Ooh. We know you. Mm-hmm. We know that you're wearing a big puffy jacket that never comes off when we go out. And we love hugging you.
Steve Cha. Of course we know Steve Cha. He was on the podcast before. Thank you for subscribing, Steve, for a whole year. And what you're wearing is a Bong Joon-ho Parasite t-shirt that you basically never take off. And that you don't actually own because you borrowed it. But it's just part of your character uniform now. And maybe you've ironed a Dreamcatcher logo in the back, Steve. Thank you.
And Josh Kim, another whole year member. Someone who suggested to me in a message that we start a Patreon. Your wish is our command.
Thank you.
You know, you're probably wearing a simple but very expensive t-shirt that you got in Korea during one of your mini travels. And where I met you. So, not in Korea, but during traveling.
So, next we have David. Yes, we know David. It's the David from New York.
Oh.
I probably can't pinpoint what you're wearing clothes-wise, but I know you are probably definitely wearing a lot of Lalabo. Because you always smell so nice.
It's probably an oversized t-shirt that he also paid a lot for. Next up is Jer F. Longtime friend and fan. And it goes both ways. Longtime friend and fan. Definitely wearing some Lululemon pants because she's a Lulu girl. And she got them hemmed at Lulu for free because that's what they offer.
Quiet luxury. Next, Diana Lynn, who I have personally known for 20 years. You are wearing a Patagonia jacket with a baby sling that has an actual baby inside it. Not a fake baby, an actual baby. Not like luxury a drag queen, baby. Like an actual mom. And you have a peach organic baby puree packet in one hand and a carrot flavor in the other.
And there's a Daniel Jew. I don't think I know you yet.
Yeah, I think I know you, Daniel.
You're the kind of gay... So Bal, I coined a term recently, and I think this might fit perfectly here. I think Daniel probably has EDC face, and you know what I'm talking about. There's a person who probably has frosted tips just a little bit because it's new and back again, and goes to EDC, has the rave gear, totally dances in the little rave hug circles. That's the kind of Asian I think you are, Daniel Ju. And we love you.
It's hilarious to me because he is definitely not that. I don't think that, which makes this so fun. But I think he's also a whole year member. So thank you. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
So thank you to all the Patreon subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed to our Patreon yet, please do so now to help support us. And now, finally, on to the show. Hey Lee, hey Nuri.
Oh, hello again.
Well,
long time no see.
Long time no see. We're very well acquainted because we just recorded for 30 minutes and lost all of it.
You might not see this. This might not even make it into the final cut.
I need to drink more for this.
But here we are again, which look at that. Let's just start back at the beginning. We share a lot of listeners together.
Go back
to the beginning. Till you're back here, baby. Okay.
Oh, BB Mac, yes.
BB Mac, that's the best one.
You guys are old people.
But tell us about your podcast, origin story, how it all started, because we get to hear it beautifully again.
Do you want to go firstly, or should I go first?
We started...
So I'm going to tell my truth.
No. We started in May 2020. It was a pandemic hobby. It was shortly after Nuri and I met, and we had discovered that we had this natural chemistry. And I also thought, you know, as a big fan of podcasts in general, that there was a dearth, a lack of...
A dearth.
Let's not be using, like, SAT words here. Right there.
GRE, not SAT.
Not American, nor educated.
No standardized testing.
Yeah, so that we didn't see ourselves represented in the podcast space. And so that's why we wanted to start our podcast. But then we realized we're just idiots who talked a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Which is why when you guys came on the scene, the newcomers, we were such big fans of yours.
Newcomers.
Because you guys were doing what we were doing, what we set out to do, and doing it so much better. So props to you both.
And way more consistently.
Yeah, that's key.
I will agree with consistency because I want to hear more from you guys. We listen to your guys' podcast a lot. It's actually Doncha's number one podcast of the year.
We've seen. Why won't you love yourself? Come on. Have standards.
That's what I say to myself every day.
I think the meaning of the title gets lost a little bit. Nuri, do you want to go on a little bit? It's a double entendre.
Oh, so... No, why would we... Well, it's actually a... Whatchamacallit? It's a callback. It's a reference to one of my favorite podcasts by Nicole Byer called Why Won't You Date Me?
Mm.
So that's kind of where we got the title from. And famously, I don't know what you're trying to get me to say, but famously in the original few episodes, we had a segment called Why Won't You Love Yourself? Where we go on a rant as if we were copying Las Culturistas.
Well, here's what I want to add is that, I don't know, maybe your memory is not terrible. As good as, 2020, pandemic but memory. In the beginning, we talked a lot about how when we see Asians dating white guys, some of the common, you know, reaction is why don't you love yourself? You know, if you love yourself more, maybe you date more Asians.
Mm-hmm. I forgot that was the reason why too.
Yeah, that was I would say a bigger part for the title than Nicole's podcast.
When I met Lee at a party, I was like, oh, you're the host of Why Don't You Love Yourself? He's like, why won't you love yourself? Sorry. My bad. Corrected.
Is it why won't or why don't?
Oh, my God.
I don't even know.
I always get it mixed up. I just say both at the same time just in case.
Yeah, and at some point, like whenever I talk to Doncha, I'm like, the W-W-Y-L-Y.
No, it's D-Y, don't you? Is it won't you or don't you?
It's won't
again.
You.
It's one. I famously younger, don't listen
to kill you.
I just say the younger Gaijin podcast.
Oh, yeah, me too.
We're not that much younger.
I am.
I'm almost Bao's age.
No, you're not.
I am. I turned 36 this year.
Oh, okay. Well, you are.
I am.
And I'm supple.
You're supple. And you're turning 30, right?
I'm turning 30.
Wait, damn.
I'm a child.
40. You know, everyone's a child, but once they turn 30, I'm like, you basically were born a month later than me. For some reason. I think it'll change when I get to 40, right, don't you? Does it?
Just you wait. I'm waiting for you.
I know. Then Nuri's going to be making fun of me even more.
I was going to say I already do, but...
Yeah. Well, back to the podcast thing, because I think when we wanted to do this podcast, I was going through my quarter-life crisis.
Sorry.
I was choking back a laugh because you said quarter.
Quarter life crisis.
Quarter of somebody's life.
Quarter of somebody's life. Quarter of some century.
Quarter pounder.
Quarter pounder. Well, I was burned out at work and I wanted to take this sabbatical and then I wanted to do something creative. And I'm like, let's just do a podcast because I love nothing more than to talk and share unhinged opinions. When we launched the podcast trailer, I was like, I wanna be in the community of Gaijin podcasts. So I followed like 10 of them. Only two of the motherfuckers followed us back. One of them is Gamchat podcast, and they're super supportive, and y'all should listen to their podcast. But then the other was you guys, and I was always remember that because I'm super petty that the one podcast that stole the word podcast like didn't get back to, and I'm gonna bleep that, but didn't get back to us.
Don't bleep it. Say their names.
Yeah,
proud.
You know, I won't say their names. No one listens to their podcast anyway. I'm not petty at all.
Not at all. She's Vietnamese.
Wow, she was probably going through
toxic.
Something. And, yeah, super toxic. Anyway, it made me realize something I've kind of believed my entire life, which is if you're in the gay community or if you're in the Asian community or if you're in the Gaysian community, you, when you see someone that's like you, like another Gaysian, another Asian, or another gay person, do you really one of two things? You either view that person as competition or as community. I love that when we started following each other, you sent a nice message saying, like, we're really excited for your podcast launching and there should be more Gaysian podcasts out there. There should be more representation out there. And it just made me feel like, oh, we're launching something and it's going to be like sort of a community feeling and not a competition. So I don't, that meant a lot. So I want to make you feel very uncomfortable by sending you encouragement and love. And you can deflect it.
Well, you know why
it,
I did
and,
that, right? Is the, you know what they say, keep your friends close, but keep them closer.
Are you a traitor?
Love that show.
Or a faithful.
Phaedra Parks right here.
I know, you're Phaedra Parks right now.
I'm Phaedra. She's a Scorpio. I say it as if I'm an astrology person.
You are. You live in LA.
I know. Yeah, I should be converted.
It's religion. Speaking of podcasts.
Speaking of, let's get this train back on the road.
Y'all have been doing this for a while, much longer than us. That's why we kind of looked up to you. And, but, you know, you've been doing it for like, what, 3-4 years? What are the weirdest things that have happened to you since starting it?
For me personally, the weirdest thing would be just to be recognized in public. Like, mm-hmm. it's like a second wave of like internet notoriety for me. So it's really weird to have people know who I was initially on the internet and now who I am now on the internet. It's just jarring.
Were you something on the internet before the podcast?
I used to run a gay Asian porn Tumblr.
No.
Durian spam.
I used to follow it.
What's it called?
And you didn't know about this?
I didn't Durian put spam. That together. Durian season.
Oh, yes, I followed it.
I was
you are of the generation game. To follow it, though. That was pre-OnlyFans gays. That was before the fact that like we had 100,000 people to masturbate to.
You guys have
to.
An icon in your presence right now.
Yes, oh we do.
No, oh literally, God. When he was down here this past weekend, he kept getting recognized at Switch. People would be like, Durian spam.
It's spam.
Durian spam.
Oh,
Durian spam.
Wow.
Yeah.
It will be written in the history books. It'll be studied as a PhD. We're going to find a porn PhD.
Asian American Studies.
Yes, Asian American Studies.
Could you imagine?
Studies. Yeah. It'll be next paper.
Oh! Keep in mind, I still live here. You guys don't come here, so like I'm the one.
We're not throwing the trade. You're the one throwing the trade.
You're already bored of Vancouver, anyways.
Fair, true.
See, they listen.
I know.
I don't really have any weird stories. I guess I just really like the connections that we've been able to make from the podcast, just because of the vulnerability that we fake on the podcast. but I did think of recently, there was a listener who came down to visit and I met him at chapel. And I guess he got really drunk and he was just telling me, you know, it's really weird to meet you because I know so much about your life and yet you know nothing about me. Mm-hmm. And it really struck me in that moment that, you know, it is sort of like this weird, I guess, parasocial relationship that I could have with a few people out there, and that's something to weird to think about for sure.
No, I feel the same way too. I feel that same way in my head. Like when people meet me, it's like I listen to the podcast and I love the podcast. And I'm like, oh, so you heard that story about me in the dorm room? One thing I experienced that I thought was I didn't expect is because of, in our podcast we do the get reels or the be reels, and are pretty vulnerable on our podcast too. Sometimes when I meet people, they jump right in. To a really
trauma dumping.
Yes, like immediately. Like, hi, how are you? Good. So like, but my partner's trying to detox from drugs and I think I have substance abuse issues and I don't know what to do. And I'm just like, okay, I'm a substance abuse counselor now. I'm like, you know, the fact that you're aware of this is the first step. Like suddenly I'm like there. I know substance abuse is a serious thing, but still, you know, I'm not a drug counselor. Or like,
and they're telling you this while you're peeking.
I know, no, but they are telling it to me on the chapel dance floor. Out of all places,
3 a.m. on the dance floor, people come up to you like, "Oh yeah, there's I heard about that story. I know you hate your mom." I'm like, "Okay, thanks."
Or like, "Oh, how's your dad doing?" I was like, "Oh, thanks for the concern." Yeah,
he's still dead. He's still dead.
Oh,
she died.
Oh. Awkward to bring up, but. You know, I don't mind it. It's better
having
than
a dead
people.
Dad?
Well, no. People, it's better than people not talking to me on the dance floor, which is the usual. It's better than the catfishes on Grindr. People hella cat. I've had these two super catfishers, and they use pictures of people that I actually knew. Someone used this photo of a guy who said, "I'm in town visiting my sister." And I was like, no, he's on my Instagram story. He's partying in Tulum with all my other friends. He pretended like he was trying to invite me over. I almost showed up to the door and I was going to like video it, but then I was afraid I was going to get murdered.
I just wonder, like, what is the end game there? And please pretend to be surprised again when I tell the story again that I recently got catfished by David Archuleta.
I'm still surprised. I'm still surprised. I really want to hear the story a second time.
No, I mean, it was a verified profile with a blue check mark. He sounded like a normal person, except that he was very, very eager to meet up on a weekday, like after work. And he was also talking about how he was working from home at the beach, which I'm like, David Archuleta, like, what do you mean? Like, and then the photos that he had were not the photos that he had on Instagram. Like, they were all David Archuleta photos, and his name was David, and everything's checked out. And, you know, the first time he wanted to meet up, I couldn't because I had work to do. But then the second time, you know, I was, like, maybe into it, and I just asked him to verify, like, his identity. Like, do you want to just video chat real quick? And then he unmatched me. So,
do you know what the first red flag was, though, that you should have caught on? That David Archuleta would swipe right on you?
So mean.
That should have been the first time. That should have been like signs clicking, like, no way. It's like, if I swiped right on Wonho and he swiped right back, catfish.
Lee, you brought a question for all of us.
Oh, yes. What is everyone's favorite podcast if you could only name one? And I went first last time in our last recording. So, Bao, do you want to go first this time?
Sure. My favorite podcast, and it's not running currently anymore, is called Feeling Asian. Feeling Asian. And it's the OG podcast that inspired Literally Gaysians, because it's a podcast that normalizes Asian people talking about their feelings, but not doing it too seriously, like taking it lightly. And it's because it's hosted by Brian Park and Young Mi Mayer. They're two of these Asian communities.
She's amazing.
I like him. He's very insightful.
You know, he's because you want to fuck him.
No,
he's hot.
Is he cute?
He's cute.
Yes.
I think he's like objectively good looking, but he's not my.
Depending on the hair, and y'all know that
Brian Park
hair is everything.
Brian Park.
Yeah. He actually didn't find his groove until after they ended the podcast, because he wanted to focus on his own things, and he kind of found his groove on Instagram and TikTok. They have this really great episode. I think I love how they treat their guests too, where they can get into serious things but also get into funny things. And they had Asa Akira on the podcast, and that's the best episode. So if you want to like gateway episode, that's the episode you should listen to. She's a porn star, the unofficial queen of anal. Unofficial because, like, girl, are you really the queen of anal? I am.
In their community.
Yeah, in the straight community. And it was really hilarious, but also really insightful, where she got really deep into like how she manages talking about her career with her parents. And
They know.
Getting in her career with her parents or with her parents?
Like talking about or broaching the topic of the career with her parents. Because their parents are kind of like, well, I know this makes you rich.
Yeah. But they don't talk about it. Like, they don't talk about it. They know. Kind of like when gay. You're like gay. Yeah. They know that you have a husband that you live with, but it's like, your roommate.
Yeah, your friend.
Your roommate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Morphine Love Dion's parents don't even know that she does drag.
Yeah. Even though she looks like a Sephora manager.
Yeah. Like, or a Mac counter person. And then one last thing I do love about the podcast is they have this segment every week called How Are You Feeling? And they ask their guests and each other that. And that is the inspiration for the Be Real or the Get Real segment, which is coming up next after we get through our favorite podcast.
I mean, it's kind of like your podcast title, Why Won't You Love Yourself? It's like hitting the hard questions, but all you do is just talk shit to each other.
And about other people, too.
Yes, of course.
We bleep their names out.
Yeah. The infamous bleep episode.
More on that later.
It hurts my ears every time. Sometimes I date myself. It's not even a podcast. Sometimes I talk about Radio Lab, and they're just like a radio show. That's how old I am. But my recent Favorite podcast aside from Star Trek podcasts is Wholesome. There's these like two young-ish 20s to 30s like queer boys in LA. I guess they're like WeHo gays and they're super unhinged. And also like talk about like serious topics too. And it's a lot like your podcast. And I love them because it makes me think of when I was younger and going through those things. I still identify. It makes me nostalgic. Mm. Make them nostalgic listening to both theirs and your podcast. Not that I'm that old.
I'm nostalgic. I held myself back,
but I'm also still making memories right now too.
I think my favorite podcast at the moment is featuring a very problematic what was that term that you guys used earlier?
Plus size person, because I wouldn't ever want to, you know, judge someone for the body type. But the Just Trish podcast with Trish Paytas, favorite. Like, I love how unhinged she... I think we just like unhinged people. Unhinged, chaotic people who ask questions that they shouldn't ask.
Yeah, you guys are the same person.
Me and Trish Paytas?
You wish. No, you and Dongcha.
Yeah.
You guys both love, like, crazy, outlandish, unhinged...
Plus-size people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I mean... I always tell Bao, no, I want to do like their podcast. He's like, they seem kind of all over the place. I'm like, that's what I love.
And little do you know, we put so much work into editing those episodes.
We are all over the place. We record for like 2 hours and edit it down to 45 minutes, which is why, you know, I was a little scared about coming on this podcast because, you know, people have been known to get canceled from this podcast and we can say things that, you know, this is us in the full, in the flesh. No edit or very minimal edit. So
you don't know that.
And Dongcha is thrown under the bus. I do think you guys are all over the place, but that's your thing.
It's
your thing.
I love it.
That's not what we.
It's your thing.
That's not what we aim for.
I know, but then it comes off like
leave recording.
No, we are not doing this the third time.
After the third podcast, Pal's like, let's not go off the cuff anymore. He had to create a Google Doc, and we had to highlight the parts that I'm talking about because
I have to highlight Chris's his neuro spicy ass. I have to highlight every part of his in yellow, like that we currently have right now.
Yeah. I get so lost.
And then when we were like, let's just like wing this episode, and he's like, oh, I'm nervous. I'm like, okay, let's go back. We can.
That sounds very very familiar.
Very us. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. We do the same thing. To me, my favorite podcast, one of my favorite podcasts right now is Where Should We Begin with Esther Perel. And you guys already know this because I just talked about it. But it is a for the audience who are listening, it is a podcast where each episode is a 2 to 3 hour couples counseling session. And that's edited down to about 45 minutes to an hour. And it's totally anonymous. They change their names. But it's really interesting because she has this really crazy ability to just hone in on the issue and speak about it from this perspective that is so like objective and nuanced, yet still really, really compassionate. And I've really appreciated that. She's changed my mind. Well, not changed my mind. Sorry, I misspoke. She's changed my thinking towards the concept of cheating. Because a lot of these couples go on there for infidelity issues, and that has always been very, very black and white to me. But now I have more appreciation for couples who are willing to work it out and make things work, and she's a big part of that.
Why has it always been so black and white for you? Because I feel like you guys have discussed this on the podcast before.
I think there's just, for me personally, there has been a lot of cheating has affected my family life. And also my own dating history in a very severe way, to the point that I don't know that I've overcome the trauma of all of that. So, yeah, that's just me.
Well, famously, Lee at one point had in his Tinder profile that his bio was like, I won't cheat on you. I'm like, that's unhinged.
And then we did a poll to the audience, like, is this a good Tinder bio or not?
I don't remember the results.
Yeah, it was not.
I have the same viewpoint, but from a different perspective in that, I don't have a black and white view of cheating, but I feel like cheating has always been a part of my life. It was part of my family life growing up. Like my mom cheated and then my dad cheated and then they got divorced. Then when me and my sister both started entering like different relationships, she's queer, she's a lesbian. And then I started dating like in the beginning of our like dating lives, we cheated on our partners. Or my sister, my sister like smoking hot. So she has like, at some point had like 4 girlfriends at once. Does not have that anymore. Lives a very different life now. But, and I'll get into this later. Sometimes I feel like it like programmed into our, in our DNA or something like that. I need to get over it. My sister got over it. But I feel like the inability to be loyal is something that I realized hurt people I cared about. Because of that, I don't see it as black and white, but I do realize like it's just always looming as a fear of something, of some mistake I can make.
It affects you a lot.
Yeah, some mistake I can make.
Does cheating really exist in the gay world when you can just open up your relationship?
It's changed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very different. That wasn't part of the like the vernacular then. It was open relationships were like something you did on the down low. Mm-hmm. Even the word down low, so different now.
You know, when I cheated, it was an agreed upon open relationship. But when it was open, it's less about the cheating. Was like for me, it was the violating the boundary that we like literally talked about. And so for me, it was like, I don't want to see you hook up or make out with anybody in front of me or in the same room. Go home, do it. That's fine. And then I think his boundary for me was like, you can't have the hookup in the house when I'm here.
Oh. And we both violated that.
We both. Girl. I think he fucked up first and I like counter fucked it up to like as revenge. It was so toxic. We're really good friends now, but that was a different time in my life. And this comes into my get real, which is probably a good segue.
Wait, going back, is that when I had to hide your jockstrap?
No.
No? Okay.
No. At that point, we were already, at that point, me and my ex had already broken up. I had 3 months before I moved to LA in San Francisco. I still lived with him in the other room. You, Doncha, and my ex were at Burning Man. And so I was like a whole week to just fuck fest in this apartment because I was like newly
single.
And I also knew that my ex was taking his new boy to Burning Man and asked me if that new boy could stay at our apartment for the weekend after Burning Man. And I was like, well, if I say no, we'll just get in a fight. And if I say yes, it was like a whole point of contention. So I'd be like, okay, fine, bring him here. I'm going to stay at a friend's place that weekend. In any case, right before they arrived back home from Burning Man, I had a hookup. And I like to wear a jockstrap in my hookups because I am the queen of anal, not Asa Akira. And then just because I have like 2 jockstraps that I really like, I didn't want to put it in the... and I might fuck again the next day. I didn't want to put it in the laundry. I was like, let's just wash it by hand and hang it up so it's ready by Monday if I need it. So I washed it by hand in the sink, and then I got ready and went to Sunday Fun Day at the Lookout. But I left the jockstrap in the sink.
Which seems like no big deal, but then we drive back, and I had... stomach issues, so I had to come up and take a shit, so I was first into the apartment. I've done it before, but I get into the bathroom, I'm like, I take my shit, but I'm washing my hands, like, why is there a jockstrap here? And I took a picture of it, sent it to Bao as a joke. I didn't think anything of it, and she like calls me like, don't you need to hide that like right now? I'm like, what? It's no big deal, right? I didn't know what the drama was. I was like, fine, whatever. I put it into a little plastic bag and throw it under the bed. And it was while I'm like trying to clean up all the shit from everywhere.
Downstairs in the car was my ex and his new boy.
The other two people.
Oh, shit,
they
or like literal
that.
Shit from your diarrhea.
Sure.
We are the same person.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't get what the big deal was with the jockstraps, though. You had already broken up.
I know, but it's just the new boy was coming in. Imagine him like trying to use the bathroom and like finding the ex left like, the jockstrap here as a sign.
You should have left
shots
it there.
Fired.
Should have been petty.
Now. I know. You know what? There was enough drama going on in my life. So much transition. I didn't want to even think about whatever was going on at the point. And with that, we're gonna head into our break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And we're back, and it's time to get real about anything that's on our minds, our hearts, and our holes. But this time, we're going to do it differently and discuss it as a group, because we have so many people here right now. Before the episode, each of us prepared one question to ask the group. And so everyone's going to ask that question that they prepared and explain why they're asking that question. And then we'll chat about it. We'll talk about it. So up first, Lee. You're up first.
Why am I always first? Okay.
Because you're more eloquent.
It's editing. I think we can
talk eloquence.
Yeah, because you sent in your question first. So
I did send my question first.
It's because I have a crush on you, and I was like, let me go first so I can like pick up on after.
So the question that I'm going to ask is, what is it like making friends in your 30s in a new city or in a city that you've lived for a while? And I'm asking this question because me, as someone who is well into my 30s, I guess it is a new city since I haven't lived here in 7 years, but I used to live here, but LA is still a new city to me. And I've been navigating friendships and dating here in LA since I moved back. So yeah, posing it to the group.
Who wants to go first?
I'm terrible at making friends, so it won't be me.
I mean, I can go first because I moved to LA in 2019. I'm from here, but it was a new city. And I think my answer to that is it depends on the city and it depends on what you're looking for. And my history is that when I was in SF, I was in my early 20s, early to mid 20s. A lot of us had just come out or had just come out and then like come out of my first relationship. I was single in a new city and started meeting and hanging out with people like through the clubs, because there wasn't even Grindr back then. Oh my God.
Was that back when Stonewall happened?
Yeah. Well, I threw the first brick.
No one died.
You were the brick.
I was the brick. For like 10 years, I built this like really tight-knit group. We did everything together, and it was like a family, like a chosen family. We went through a lot too together. And when I moved to LA, I was like 35, 34. And I think I was trying to replicate the same group. And I'm just being honest here. I do feel like my friends at SF are...
Yes?
I think they have the whole package. For me, personally.
Aww.
I think
we were around for your formative years.
Yeah, but I can get fulfillment of all parts of me in one group of friends. You're always down to go out and party and have a good time. Two, care about your careers, because career is a really important part of my identity, whether I want to admit that or not. And the third is like, I just admitted it. It's an important part of my identity, right? And the third part is that you guys read the news, have opinions on, have good taste in music, we'll actually go see the Oscar films. And those parts are parts of me that are important to me. But when I moved to LA, I realized I couldn't really find that in one group or one group of friends. And so
this
LA
sounds
for me,
so shady towards LA.
I know.
it isn't.
It's different. It's
you
different.
Burn those bridges different. Right now.
Or I haven't found that group, but I do think I have really great friends in each of those categories.
And I can attest to this because when I went to your party, there were very distinct groups that did not really talk to each other. I was telling the truth. Yeah.
I'm telling the truth. And, you know, they start, that's why I had to do that like icebreaker at my party for people to like mingle. And once I let that go, I think I was much freer and realized that when I want to go see movies or go to concert, these are the people I do that with. When I need advice on my career, these are the friends I talk to about that or how to negotiate a job offer. And then when I want to go party, there's a certain group that can do that. It's not a them problem. It's a me problem. I can't force them to be this person. I can't change them, but I can change how I see it. And then after that, I think I really feel like I love and respect my community here now.
I mean, it didn't help that you moved to LA like right as the pandemic started and was like one of the first friends to get COVID.
Oh, yes.
So you just like went through it in your like everything, in your everything.
Yeah. I feel like I've been just going through it since COVID. But no, things are looking up. Things are looking up now. I feel like, okay, I'm ready to close that really messy transitional chapter in my life. And move on. And you know what? Finding my community in
messy
LA was
but fun.
Messy? I'm just kidding.
What did you say?
Just kidding. Messy.
Not that.
Mess.
I don't know. Does that help? Does that help at all, Lee? Or do you feel...
No, I really, really resonated with that. And I think moving back to LA, that's actually what I was looking for too, is the whole package in a friend group. And I have been pretty lucky, I think, in that, you know, a small group here did adopt me and they can do all of those things. I can go to them for all of those things you just mentioned. And I know that not everybody has that experience because, you know, people in their 30s are a lot more set in their respective groups. And, you know, it's very hard to break in because, you know, they've been friends for 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I do acknowledge that I've been very, very lucky.
I also noticed that when you move to a new city, you gotta have to date friends.
Huh?
Oh, as
wait,
in like,
what do you mean?
I thought you were talking about like incest.
Yeah, not incest. More like you have to like do friend hangs and figure out if the chemistry's right. And you kind of go through a lot of different friends where you're like, that chemistry just wasn't there to be like that friend. And then it took me some time to find the right people, you know, people with the right chemistry too.
So. It feels like young days when you're just meeting people for the first time, like college and everything.
But you know what the tricky part about that is that sometimes you can go on these friend dates and you feel like a friend chemistry with them, whereas they might feel a different chemistry towards you. And then and then once you reject their advances, then
they stop inviting you out to other friend groups. Too,
and then
is this the story of Nuri and Lee?
No.
I don't know. I'm interpolating.
I don't have a lot of experience making friends because I've lived in Vancouver for so long. And I've talked about the fact that, like, I think when you live in a city for so long, and especially when the gay community is so much smaller, like Vancouver, we have a handful of Gaysians that hang out, right? So it's harder for me to break into that crowd. They all hang out together. I'm like, I can acknowledge that I'm not everyone's cup of tea. Fine with that. But just through coming back from LA recently, I realized that when you have a lot bigger pool of people to select from, like, hey, it's probably easier to make friends when there's so many more options, right?
I think we are like the same person. I feel like I'm having some like similar situation. San Francisco is
really
big and small. Just the sheer number of people is very low here, even though it has a large Asian population and a large queer population. But there's just not that many people here. Mm-hmm. And as I am in my early to mid-late 40s, a lot of my friends are doing different things. And so I am an extrovert. I like to do a lot of things. But I'm also poor right now, too. But I'm trying to make new friends. Even after a few years ago, I was like, making new friends is exhausting. I love my friends. Why do I need new friends? But I'm like, well, a lot of my other friends are coupled. They're tiring out. They got diabetes. I gotta make sure that I take care of those friends, but also take care of myself too. And it's hard trying to make new friends. Like, and I've lived here all of my life. Mm-hmm. I've thought about moving to New York, to London, to LA. So what I have had to like be more aware of is trying harder, which I was not good at before. Living in the world of drag, everyone was your friend for a while. Now I'm just older and not doing drag anymore. It didn't just fall into my lap. I have to like put some effort into the friendships, and I hope it shows to people. I just hope it doesn't come off as fake that I'm like extra aggressive about like, oh, let's do this.
One thing that has really helped me is that, you know, I'm not as extroverted as maybe you are, but I'm also not a total introvert. And so like, I don't like the big gatherings, and then, but one-on-one hangouts are a bit too high pressure. And so those small dinners, small get-togethers with like three or four people, I really, really enjoy those because, you know, you're never feeling pressure like you have to be putting on and carry the conversation. You know, it's split four ways. Everybody can contribute. Everybody has a different perspective. And you also, it's intimate enough where you can really get to know someone on a deeper level.
Yeah.
And I found that in the past year, those have been my most favorite activities here in LA, actually.
I think that's how I got closer to Bao, too. Like, it would be like 4, 5, 6 of us in a room. And after like a like big thing with a group, and this is when we get a lot, you know, closer, whether we like it or not.
We were also high.
That's where we came up with the term Molly Talk. Molly Talk.
Oh, that's innocent. My mind was somewhere else.
But I did get to know you. And that's actually kind of like on an old topic. That's kind of where we were joking all the time. Oh my God, we should start a podcast. Like literally a decade ago, we would say that before like it turned into this kind of a thing. And then you took me up on that. You took literally. Literally.
Yeah, we did it.
Occasions.
Literally engaged. That would be a good like concept for a podcast. Just roll and then like talk about whatever.
Well, no.
It would be very bad for your brain cells.
Yeah.
Our first three
we've
were
done
drunk,
enough in our 20s.
And that's why we didn't air them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. That'll be on our Patreon next year.
Mm-hmm. You know, on a semi-related note, I want to bring up this issue of how do you champion inclusivity in a community where there are such pervasive hierarchies? And I'm sure you guys all know what I'm talking about, even though that question is quite densely worded.
But to spell it out. Spell it out.
I'm excited. Let's talk about this. No, I'm very excited about it.
Well,
I'm not that sure what you mean.
I feel like this is part of why I listen to your podcast.
Okay, well, let me pull it back. Right, I think with any close-knit community, as close-knit as ours, where you can know people just from different cities, even though you've never known them, you've just heard so many things about them, naturally there is just this sort of order that gets created. You know, the whole concept of popularity and
hierarchies.
How many people you know, hierarchies. My question is that, you know, as gay Asians, you know, a lot of us are very familiar with what it feels like to be left out or be excluded. Yeah. Why is it that at this point in our lives, are we so focused on upholding this hierarchy? And what does that really say about us as a community?
Trauma. Well, I mean, like, to be fair, if you grew up with that being left out and excluded and all that stuff, that's going to come back in your adult life. And like in the form that it comes up to me is that if you get a seat with the cool kids, like why wouldn't you take up the idea of that? Right. It's you're perpetuating it, even though you don't want to perpetuate it. But because it's been so ingrained into who you are growing up and having experienced that now that you have a seat at the table, you're like, why wouldn't I take a seat?
It's funny when I hear this question. Because, for example, we had a guest on the podcast that literally told us to our face on the podcast, I've always wanted to hang out with you and your group, but it's so hard to break in. Yeah. Remember Jack said that? And I was like, break in? And then I realized, like, oh, I started seeing our friend group from the outside in. But in my mind, when I heard, like, talk about social hierarchies, exclusivity and all stuff, and I realized, like, oh, maybe some people think about it in this certain way, but when I look back at my life, the way our group happened was very natural, right? It was like, yeah, we all suddenly had that moment in time where we all hung out together every other day, and it just, and you became my family. We've seen each other through sickness, through like grief, parents dying, diabetes. And so we're tight because we have all this shared history and we're sort of a family. Yeah. And it's not like it's hard to break in. It's sort of like it happened naturally that way. But then I realized like, oh, we are probably like looking really closed off. It's not like we had.
It was not purposeful.
Creating a group. Decision. Yeah, I wasn't Taylor Swift trying to make my little like group happen or something, you know?
No, we were just high.
We were just high. We had a common interest: getting high and getting fucked.
Yeah, oh. it was
or fucking. Like, you know,
I remember when I first met you all. I didn't think of y'all as exclusive. I just was like, oh wow, there's these new people to meet. Because I was like in this like deep in my drag days, and I was I think I had that in. What was interesting though was a lot of people were scared of drag queens at that time, and everyone knew me only as the drag queen. And I felt very accepted that you guys would hang out with me, because we kind of met each other through a pageant, pageant queens. And he was running for Mr. Gappa, and I was running for Miss Gappa. And
Gappa?
Yeah, Gage and Pacific Alliance, a San Francisco thing. It was the different time, not the 90s, but the 2010s. And there's a community group. And I think because San Francisco had a lot of that vibe, that grassroots organization, I think it felt less about exclusivity. Mm. It was more about community. But I think as times started to change, and I noticed this, and I say this as an older person, that social hierarchy stuff became a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was necessarily that. We had to band together before because we had nothing else. And then I started seeing social climbing, that social ladder, all of that. I never thought I was part of that. I like to be... think I was above that.
Above on the ladder, so you were top tier.
No.
Come on.
I knew you were going to say that. That I befriended everyone. I have way too many friends on Facebook because it was too nice.
Facebook.
And I don't... And I... Yes. Thank you. Oh my God. I saw that. Now I see that coming. I hear myself now.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to stop there. I'm going to stop there. We were at this friend of a friend who was talking about, oh, I need to talk to these New York gays about our social capital. I need to talk to them because of social capital. He was younger, and it made me think about,
oh,
I kind of did that.
Wait, what?
But not really. I didn't think of it so clearly in that way. I just wanted to be friends with everyone because I needed friends. Not that, oh, I need to be friends with these specific people to build social capital.
Which is like, it makes sense because... You know, this whole thing about, like, you know, how do you get what you want? Is that you figure out how the world works, and then you work with it, mm-hmm. and then you play the game. Mm-hmm. It's just that sometimes I think maybe, and to bow back to your point, maybe people just are not aware of how their actions are coming off. You know, when their actions can be interpreted as exclusionary.
At the same time, I kind of notice now when, like, someone new shows up and they're, like, campaigning to be a part of the group. And I realized, like, you kind of have to, it's sort of like a fraternity or sorority. You kind of have to have, like, someone sponsor you in at some point. Mm-hmm.
It's like Burning Man.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you're hot, then, like, you kind of just gotta.
Oh, yeah, you get in.
You get
okay,
in.
Okay, it's sad that everyone gets the, you know, free pass with the hot card, but that is not just the gay community, the community of people.
But then, you know, if that hot person is a terrible person, it would be sniffed out right away.
We know terrible people who are hot who get away with it.
Say their names.
Yeah, Lee, how's it feel?
You said hot people, sorry, didn't you?
Well, and I thought when you asked this inclusion question, I thought you meant, like, you know, this is pretty monocultural, gay Asian guys, but at some point it is intimidating. So for example, when I'm on Hinge and then I match with someone that's not Asian, or I see someone attracted that's not Asian, and they link their Instagram. I go to their Instagram to see if their pictures are with a bunch of white gays or black gays or Latin gays, or if there's, like, some Asian in the group.
Definitely. I'm always thinking about who their friends are.
Yeah. But then if you look at the opposite of that, if they thought I was cute, and then they went down and saw my Instagram and saw, like, 40 Gaysians in Montreal for a white man's 40th birthday... Like, I feel like that would be intimidating to them. Or, like, they would give them the message that this person's probably only going to date Asian guys,
that's
right?
That's the ultimate white worship. They feel just so at home. What are you, Asian, celebrating one white man?
No. We laugh, but true.
Couldn't be me. There,
no lines.
It was a Canadian. Okay, sorry.
Oh, no, really? It doesn't make a difference.
I think localizing this issue, I think LA just places, maybe compared to SF, where there is more of a sense of community, LA I feel like people place a higher value on your perceived value
social
and attractiveness.
Oh.
Your social capital. So then when they meet you, they give you the once over and then decide that they're not worth your time. And then they turn around and they see someone else like, oh my God, hey, what's up? You know, like I've had friends complain to me about the way that people talk to them at clubs. And I wish people would just be more cognizant of their actions and how they're coming across.
I think it's something that was interesting about, like, say, Bao coming from a LA, West Hollywood culture to San Francisco in her 20s is very different. I mean, she always loves to tell the story of coming to Badlands wearing a blazer in her early 20s. A blazer at a gay, not a club, a bar. And you know, like trying to look cute, like you're at the Abbey. And, you know, it's, I think, where regional culture plays into it.
Yeah. You know what? And I did still, when I lived in San Francisco, never shook off the desire for people to try a little harder.
No, I get it. I complain about people's fashion and style, which are different things, all the time. Not like I have a lot, because I grew up here. Everyone needs to give me a pass.
No, but you actually have taste and a perspective on what look at your apartment. But other people,
great.
It's just not there, you know?
A flashback to Honey Mahogany saying San Francisco drag is not about the looks back in season 5.
It's about the story.
You said that with so much conviction.
Yes, because I'm not a plastic tiara.
So passionate right now.
I'm not a plastic tiara.
You're definitely not a plastic tiara. Come on.
I'm not 21. I am a monster queen who can tell a good story. It's about the story, and I'm not a beautiful queen, but I am a good fucking entertainer. That's what I am.
Yes, you are. You're one of my favorites.
I can't wait to see
you. Hey, I did... On cultural night for the Rice Rocket show, they're like, do something cultural. I did a song about Chinese food where we started with Sarah McLachlan, you might be too young for this, talking about saving animals as I cooked them to the song Chinese food. I like Chinese food.
It's so good.
It's very good.
Wait, you left Nuri speechless, which is...
Oh yeah, I cooked dogs on stage and served them to people for Chinese Heritage Night. So you're welcome. It's about the story.
It's about the story. It was so good. All right. Yeah. We got to move on.
Backtracking. Yes.
We got to move on to the next question.
Okay.
Which is from Nuri.
So because I recently just got back from L.A., and I made all these connections with people that I really value. And it was a really eye-opening experience for me both times that I've went to make these friends in a city that I don't live in. Right. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to know, how do you guys manage maintaining a relationship with someone who doesn't live in the same city as you? Because it's obviously hard. Like, you can't just send memes to each other all day to keep a connection.
Oh, yes, you can.
Oh God.
But
Calling me out.
Oh, is that what you do?
Yeah.
But it's just hard. I just want to know how you guys build a relationship with someone who lives in a different city, or how you even make a relationship with someone who lives in a different city.
It's funny. I feel like that's a question I would have also had 10 years ago.
Same. We're same. 10 years ago. Yes, that's also very accurate.
No, well, 15
years
ago.
Can I say something? Can I be honest?
No.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, Don.
I'm surprised you asked this question.
He kept badgering me about, when you're coming down to LA, why don't you make plans with people? I'm like, I don't want to make plans.
What's the other side of the story, Lee?
No, that's not why I was confused about why you asked this question. Oh, no.
Because I want to make an effort. I want to try. I the second time around, now that I've gone twice, the people who I wanted to see came out. A friend of mine who was originally a pod listener, he drove all the way from Santa Ana to hang out with me on my last day in LA. He drove me to the airport. It's to LAX of all places. To me, I'm this is someone who truly is a good friend. Now I just need to put the energy into making sure that we continue to have this relationship and this friendship, because he lives in LA, I live here.
But the answer isn't right in front of you. We
sending memes.
We don't send memes. We text each other almost daily. We call each other. We schedule trips to see each other. What is preventing you from doing that?
We've had 4 or 5 years of history. We've hung out in person like maybe 4 times in total. Right?
So what is stopping you from continuing to message him?
It's not stopping me from messaging him. I'm going to continue to message him. But like at some point, like I do feel like there's going to be a natural lull in conversation, because when you live in 2 different cities, your lives are going to start playing out. You're going to have to do your own thing. Like there are times when you don't have the chance to talk to each other as much.
Well, we have lulls and it's okay.
But again, the difference between you and I is that we have 4 years of history. Like during COVID, I saw you every single day. Right? I don't have that with these people who live in a...
You think that if you just had a law, you wouldn't be able to pick it right back up?
No, but it's just, I think it's hard to maintain a relationship with someone who lives far if you don't have a lot of pre-established history.
So, older perspective.
Okay.
You don't need to talk to some of your best friends every day.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and best friends. Even friends you just met, like if they're meant to be in your life forever, I hate to sound like eat, pray, love white woman. Like you have to try to trust the process on that one versus forcing it.
I thought I was gonna lose Bao when he moved to LA. Mm-hmm. I was so sad.
I thought the same thing.
But what did we do? Podcast.
I was like, one idea: start another podcast with your friend.
Yeah, but start with Exifer.
But like to build upon that, like how do you make a new friend in a new city? Like, I don't want to be shady, but like, do you just hit someone up on Instagram and be like, can I stay at your house when I'm visiting? Because that's such a gay culture thing to do. Gaysian thing to do. Gay thing to do. People thing to do. I don't know.
You mean like maintain like a new friend in a new city?
To start a new friend.
I wouldn't say that's the first question to ask.
Hey, can I crash at your house? I'm just visiting for a few days.
Yeah, I have the same question because I also, you know, like Nuri, he's like the young version of me. I stayed here all my life. And I did not make a lot of new friends in other cities, where I saw all of my other friends always traveling to other cities, going hanging out. Mm-hmm. I felt a little jealous. Mm-hmm. Did have to try harder. When I went to the cities, I always went with others and met friends of friends. It seemed like the only way I could do it. Maybe this is me as not a psychiatrist trying to identify you as someone with ADHD. what is that? Out of sight, out of mind. Like I'm both speaking to your question and answering it. It's hard.
Yeah,
you just gotta try harder. I have to try harder. That's it. I message people out of the blue, and it's awkward. It's not awkward to them, probably.
Two new things I'm trying. I've always said I'm not a FaceTime person, but it got to the point where I really loved my friend who lived in New York. And then she moved to London. And at some point, I'm like, the only way we could be friends is if we schedule a monthly Zoom or like Google Meet hangout. And I thought it was going to be awkward. We could talk for 2 hours each time.
So like and, a podcast.
Yeah, a little bit like a podcast. Yeah. But I was like, it actually feels really natural because this is the friendship. And then what she turned me on to, because she lives in London, is we do voice messages to each other on WhatsApp. And for some reason, the voice message is so much more intimate than like a text, because you get so much more into it. So like, instead of her just typing how her date went or the anxiety she's feeling, like hearing her talk about it. And sometimes she sends me like, we send each other like 20-minute voice messages. And now I feel bad because she just sent me one. I need to send
That's
one back.
Long.
Sometimes I just...
1.5 like, you know, speed.
But you know, you're telling a story. You're walking around. Yeah. I feel like text to me takes so much work to get tone across. And the voice message, you just get so much more of that like in-person interaction and less of a... pressure to get back to the voice message right away, because sometimes it takes me like 2 weeks to get back to the voice message or something.
It's funny that you say you're not like a FaceTime person, because I'm not either, but when those happen, I see them like on TV, watching that show on HBO, the one that Issa Rae is producing. Like
rap,
they're all
secure.
Rap shit. Rap they're shit. Always on FaceTime. And I feel like it's a generational thing. And when I don't do it, I'm never initiated, but whenever our younger friends initiate it, it'll be 5 a.m. and he'll like do a FaceTime. I'm like, oh, this is awkward. And then I love it. I love it. And I feel closer again. So just that random, it starts out awkward and then it turns into just kicking and shitty love.
I mean, these are the things that we do, Nuri. Yeah. Like you can do that with people. And whoever else.
I think it's the building part that I have trouble with, because I don't come from a background of like having a lot of friends or not being a very social person in general. So making friends and all that is still relatively new to me. And like Lee is someone I'm thankful for that, like, we're able to maintain this friendship together, even though he lives in a different city. But I just sometimes don't know if the same methods are going to apply for someone who I don't have a history with. But I do like the ideas, and I do think I want to try it, but at my own pace, which means never.
Yeah, just try harder. Or suddenly you're 44 and you have no friends.
Oh. Okay, well, Nuri, know that I'm always here for you to help you strategize.
You're literally not here.
No, you can FaceTime me anytime and we'll talk, even if you just need someone to listen to you.
You also don't have an iPhone, so we can't FaceTime.
We can Instagram Skype. Message.
No, but he WhatsApp called me during New Year's, like right after midnight, and it made my night. It was nice.
Yeah, one of these days, include me. Let's see what happens.
You're either drunk or high.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Do it.
All right, Chris, what's your question for the group?
I guess I'm going to be a little bit more general, just because like yours were so
specific.
Personal.
Oh.
As many people know, I'm not great at sharing my feelings as well, unless I'm forced by Bao. in one or two words, finish the sentence. And you can expand on about laughter, but this past year has been...
A year?
A year?
Oh,
a year?
It hasn't even been a year. It's only been 4 months.
The past year. The past 12
this,
months.
This time year. I guess. Yeah.
Okay, do you want
to
go first?
Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay, good.
This past year has been draining me. For actually, like, some of the things we've talked about. Like, friendships. I get lonely at home. And this is all partly because I am fun employed, finances. I'm so over this past year. I want to go out to dinner with people, but we're living in San Francisco and every meal is $40 to $60. Mm-hmm. And I'm an extrovert, but it's hard to be an extrovert that's poor, that can't go do the things that I want. Yeah. And so I'm trying to maintain friendships, but I also got to make sure that I can pay rent. So I'm so over this year. I'm getting tired, exhausted. I don't want to work, but I want an income. So I don't know. It's been a tiring year.
Not to offer unsolicited advice, but like, why don't you just invite people over to your house to like watch Drag Race or like just hang out? That's a relatively fun, free, easy activity to like keep a connection.
Yeah. Actually, that did happen.
Yeah, you did
but
that.
But regularly. Like, the one thing about Drag Race is that I've had a reoccurring Drag Race night for the past 5 years. Because I don't think there's been a single week. Yeah, with friends.
Okay. Jerry, we are the same people.
Yeah, it's the same person. Drag Race is the one thing that's constant in life. There's always going to be a Drag Race.
During lockdown, I was the one hosting the Zoom Drag Race screenings because I was the only one who was willing to pay for a subscription. But it kept us together. And yeah. I think, and it kind of goes back to your question. I'm putting in more effort, but it's getting harder as I get older. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's a lack of trying. I think I just do have to try even harder now.
I think the job thing is a big piece. And once that comes together, everything else will fall in place. Because that, I mean, like Bao said earlier, as much as we don't want to admit it, our jobs are a huge part of who we are. Yeah. And it's, I mean, survival, you know? So I'm sorry to hear that you're going through that.
Yeah, wow. Down with capitalism. Capitalism is making me lonely and exhausted.
Let's get that UBI.
Universal Basic Income.
Yeah, it's really hard because I've been there too. It's about the hierarchy of needs, like being able to get basic needs met. Yeah. Everything's a hierarchy.
Maslow, not gay hierarchy.
I love Maslow.
The second thing, unsolicited advice, is I know I shitted on this idea for 10 years plus.
Oh God, what?
But game nights are really fun.
That is so much. I love game nights and people give me so much shit about it. I love game nights, but I have low patience. I only like short games. but I like game nights.
I think watching Traders made me appreciative of like.
We should play Traders, though.
Mafia. Is it Traders? Mafia. Or this one called Secret, like Secret Hitler or something. That's also pretty.
There's a bunch of variations, but they're all the same thing. Mafia, Avalon.
Yeah. Okay, I can get real nerdy here. I think I don't get invited to many game nights because of my past history of always wanting a party. Everyone always says, oh, I thought you were out at some party. So they don't invite me to game nights.
So everyone invite, invite Doncha to your game
night. Invite Doncha to your game night. I'll be your unhinged talk of the town. Mm-hmm. I can act. I can put in $1 into the pot and I'll be a fun time.
And every game night needs a loud person like that so you can quietly win.
Yeah. I don't play to win. What? I only play against the person who wants to win.
Mm. So bow.
Mm-hmm. No, I always try to be in the corner like, I don't get what? I don't get
no, all right, Nymphia win.
Even New Year's Eve.
Oh, that, but then if you're going to have a music challenge, I become Plasma. I become, I'm going to name that song.
Don't rain on her parade.
Okay. I can,
okay, who else?
I can do this. This past year has been
1 to 2 words. Doesn't have to be one.
This past year has been, I'm going to step into the full corniness. This past year has been healing. Therapy speak, therapy talk. We're in therapy talk now.
Good for you.
Because, I mean, sarcastic. Well, fuck, like, if I took a year and a half off and had to deal with this 8-month job search and my finances in that certain way, I hope I came out healed. And it's funny because, not healed, I don't feel healed, but that a lot
process.
Of the process of feeling a lot better than I was when I left my job in 2022. And I thought that I would feel that feeling because I got to take some time off and travel the world. But no, I felt that feeling when I couldn't find a job. When I, all my options kept drying up and I had none of the things that I used to think measured my happiness. A great job, a great boyfriend, and great metabolism, looking great able to go out every night. Those things that I thought were like, I didn't have that many friends like in the beginning of last year. I thought like being popular, like would make me happy, but I had none of that. And I was risky of losing all of it. And I was still fine with myself. I was still not anxious. And I was still like, I think I'm going to be okay. I still liked myself. I think that took a long time to get there. And I was like, I think that is the true feeling of, for me, that I like grew in this way that I wanted to, and it was only apparent to me when I was going through bad shit, like being able to handle the bad shit a different way. It's, and so I think healing, yeah, I feel like it was very healing.
I think so. You just described the true meaning of resilience and how that comes through when you go through really difficult times.
Well, we wait until I get real, because you think maybe you might take that back.
Probably not. That wasn't getting,
but
that
she
wasn't
hasn't asked real. Hers yet.
I haven't asked mine yet.
Oh my god!
But because we first have to get to how you will finish the sentence. Early.
Oh, mine is just one word: restorative. It's quite similar to yours, but maybe not as. People can't see. Oh, they can see this.
They can see this.
Whereas yours is a psychological healing. Mine is just more relationship driven. I was recently out at a dinner with a friend who I hadn't seen in 12, 14 years because something that went down a long time ago. And this is not about that, but he asked me the question of what's been the best thing that's happened to you in 2024? And I couldn't answer because everything has been so stable and so balanced. But I thought about it more. And on a recent trip back to Vancouver, there was a moment at the club where I looked at a friend in the eye. And this is a friend who have had so many ups and downs. So
not
many
me,
ups
by the
and
way.
Downs. It's not Nuri. It's not Nuri. I looked at this friend in the eye and I said, I'm really glad you're here. Because people were very surprised that I invited him out because we had gone through so much. And I think just knowing, getting older, and knowing how little time we have left. I mean, not like, sorry,
stop,
you just,
stop,
don't you just
stop,
hold
stop
your
talking.
Eye.
Bring it stop, down. No,
I just,
stop talking.
I just, as I get
life
older,
life is short. I get it.
Life is really short, and what's gonna matter in the end is just how is the relationships, and that's what's really important to me.
You almost slipped up with a Tumblr quote right there.
Oh, enlighten me, please.
It's not about what you do; it's about how you make people feel.
Okay,
I'm down with that.
You ate that.
Okay, since we're full in this like feelings mode, one thing I do look through the lens of was something like we had to go to some like training at work, and then we had to read all these like classics. One of the readings was about a 80-year-old man who had to talk to his 25-year-old self.
This is me and Chris having a conversation right now.
Sorry, the joke was right there. I had to take it. I'm so sorry.
Let me just say, I'm coming to Vancouver in April, and I'm not scared to bring a knife.
I'm so sorry. The joke was right there.
It
you
was
can't
really
not take the opportunity.
Oh my God, you are so amazing. I can't. Yep. I don't even want to go on.
You're gonna lose your metabolism too. Your cheeks are gonna sink from here to here.
Not if I get filler.
Oh, you don't want to get
buccal fat removal. I've been talking about buccal fat removal
and Botox. Yeah.
Yeah.
And lasers. But and then we had to do an exercise like, well, if you're talking to your 80-year-old self, what do you want to hear from that person? So
not what Nuri just said.
So I make decisions like that sometimes. Like, yeah. Will I really remember this at that age? No, this is petty. Let's move on. No,
literally me. Like, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally me.
Nuri.
Oh, I'm the last one.
Yeah.
I guess the past year has been... Is eye-opening two words? Yeah, eye-opening. Like, I'm turning 30 this year. I know I'm looking forward to my 30s, but I realize that a lot of my life I've been just hiding away from problems and, like, just avoiding conflict and just... kind of not really living my life the way I want to be living my life. And it wasn't until last September, right before I turned 29, right? Yeah, right before I turned 29 that I'm like, hey.
Way to rub it in.
Oh, sorry. Right before I turned 29, I'm like, hey, I have a year to start getting myself to where I think I want to be. Not that I have the expectation that like my 30s, I'm going to figure it all out, but like I have to start laying the groundwork towards building towards what I want. So a lot of the past few trips to LA, for example, or like a lot of me just this year in general has been about wanting to do better for myself, because a lot of the times I don't have very high self-worth. So I've always put that idea of like, oh, why do I need to work on myself when I could provide for other people? Right. Mm-hmm. So this is the year of me really taking care of myself and like wanting to do better for me.
You guys should see his workout progress.
Yeah. It's people pleasing, but the other way, the people is you.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to love somebody if you can't love somebody else? No. What the fuck did I just say?
She already done had hers.
How the hell are you going to love yourself, right? It all comes back to Rue.
Well, I'm glad you've noticed that. I think I've had points in my life, and maybe my mid-30s, where I actually thought of living more intentionally that way.
It's uncomfortable and it's hard.
It's hard,
like,
and you're going
to... anal sex.
And you're going to fuck up. Just like anal sex. You'll have accidents.
Shit's going to hit the fan.
They'll be poop.
Just like anal sex. Yeah. Let's keep going with the suction.
I know. You're the queen of anal, after all.
Me? No, I'm a virgin.
Oh, okay. My question is...
Oh, God.
How do you stop feeling crazy when you first start dating someone? Okay, the reason why I asked this question... because I did start seeing someone... It's super early, but it's actually been many, many years since I've seen anyone this frequently that was single.
Oh. Yeah.
Right? Isn't that true, don't you?
Yeah.
It's
especially
been a while.
In San Francisco, coming from San Francisco life.
Yeah, yeah. I think the last time I've been in this situation was when I first started dating my last ex, which was almost 10 years ago.
Oh.
And
sorry, I need to stop making sounds.
No, it's fine. Keep making the sounds. And again, the only caveats to that were guys with boyfriends, which, as you'll remember, I had a problem with and had to completely blacklist guys with boyfriends.
Blocklist
for my own mental health. But this is less about like the guy I'm dating, because he did ask me like, "Do you want me to listen to your podcast? Should it be the way I get to know you?" I'm like, "Absolutely not." Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. So he's like, fine, that's all you need to say.
but it's just about the fact that even though the last 12 months I have felt healing, the last 2 weeks, the last month, I have felt like when I had a therapist, because I had never been in like dating somebody with that therapist, or like I haven't dated someone so long, that that part of me was sort of kind of just been tucked away. And now it's like, oh, it's opening up all this anxiety in me, and it made me realize just how fucked up my nervous system becomes when I first start dating someone that I actually like. And it's so basic, the anxiety issues I have. The first one would be the text was left on read at 1 a.m. last night, and he did not text me this morning. And then I feel like a teenage girl again, and I go through all the scenarios of how it's going to end. Like, this guy's not right for me. Maybe like the next time we hang out, maybe should it be on text that like we stop doing it? And literally text me like,
I just woke up.
And it reminded me, don't ya? And because I don't wait. Well, first of all, because I don't have a therapist anymore to talk to.
Well, you're a therapist.
You're our therapist, but yeah. Second, I got my haircut, so my stylist is my therapist. And he said something pretty poignant. He is not your, like, that is not your, you're not dating your ex. I'm like, okay, that's a pretty good saying. And he's like, why are you so anxious right now? You know, later on, if you stay with this guy forever, it'll get boring. You need to enjoy these first few weeks. Oh, I was like, oh,
the
yeah.
The excitement.
I agree with him.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah, and I was like, it's almost
good to feel crazy because at least it means you feel something. I don't know about you guys, but from what I hear, and also my personal experience too, is that so many of us are basically dead inside. Like, it's been so long since I felt something for someone. I think the last time, my last significant thing was 2022. And even then, it wasn't a very strong feeling. Like, I think if I had stronger feelings, then we would have worked out perfectly. But, you know, I think maybe the crazy is good. Like, it means that you're feeling the heart flutters and all that. And like, ooh, what's going to happen? And you care about it.
Ooh, I was not expecting that to feel good. Like, to hear that and feel good. Because I think it's probably one of those things where I have a nefarious relationship with myself, that part of myself, the anxiety. I think I am a... So one venue of therapy for me has been my stylist. The other, of course, is TikTok.
Oh my god.
So yesterday I like went through three, because I'm not working yet, had like 3 hours, and I spent each hours on the different attachment styles and trying to figure out what I am.
Which one are you?
I think I'm I am not.
Wow.
I am the fearful avoidant. So I am going through the anxiety inside, but I will never let you know. I will go icy cold.
Oh my god.
And that's how I've treated some friends when like I've done that before, and I noticed like it's something I want to work, because like, oh, then it, you know, when these things happen, like it shows you the ugly part of yourself, and you're like, ugh, gotta still work on some things. And it showed me that I am probably a really jealous person, and I'm just going to admit it, and don't just like do this.
It took you this long.
I think that I knew I was jealous, but I was so ashamed of it. But now I'm just going to say it out loud, because I remember... So this is bringing back all these images of like me and my past relationship that I never hadn't thought about in a while. And I remember one time that my ex had gone out to go drinking with his friends. And me and Doncha were out on Sunday Funday. And suddenly my ex, we were living together at the time, and we'd been together for like a few years already, was not texting me back. And I went into this whirlwind of he's either cheating on me or like something's going on. I went through, we visited every bar in the Castro to try to find him, and couldn't find him. And so I went home and I was like, he was definitely cheating on me. And I wrote this post-it note and put on his mirror, "We're over." And right after I wrote and after that, I wrote that, and I was like about to leave. Oh, we didn't live together yet, because I was going to leave and go to my apartment. Like, fuck you. Go fucking cheat on me. And then he texted me like, "Hi." I'm like, where are you finally? He's like, "Look out." And so I drove my car to Lookout, just like fucking pumped up fight mode. And I find him sitting in a potted plant next to the Lookout with barf all over his shoes. And I pulled him in my car, took him home. And the next morning, I was still angry. I went to my car, drove to work, and I saw all this dirt from the potted plant in the car. And I realized, like,
Val created this whole story in her head.
Bitch, you crazy. Because this is hilarious. You thought there's potted plant all over your fucking car. Anyway, there are other situations like that.
She was passed out for the past 3 hours.
There were other situations like that that showed up. A little inkling of that is like being like unburied right now. And so my question is, how do I stop feeling crazy when I first start dating someone?
I feel like you might need a professional after that story.
BetterHelp.com.
So BetterHelp.com. You can find a professional online guidance that's suited to your needs.
BetterHelp.
Oh, did you see on my Instagram stories today? Parvati just did a BetterHelp ad.
Oh, with Sandra.
With Sandra?
No, by herself. By herself. Oh, she said. Okay. So Parvati is a Traders. I'm assuming, Nuri, you watch Traders.
Nuri's a stan. Yeah. Nuri's a Parvati
stan. I'm a stan. I'm a Parvati stan.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. But anyway, okay, we'll leave it to the professionals then.
I love that story, though. I think we all have similarly unhinged stories from our past. You know, some of us from the past year or two.
2 years now. It's been two
Wait,
years now.
Do you guys get jealous? I feel like I'm the only one who seems to be like of my friends who like gets this way.
Oh, no, I get so jealous.
Really?
I think jealousy is a normal thing, but like there's a difference between jealousy and possessiveness, right? And I think you have to distinguish what part is what? Question mark? Mm.
Wrote that in my journal today. Still didn't help.
I don't have as much experience in this lately, at least not recently. I feel like I'm always a little hesitant about like anything I've kind of got started with. Yeah, there's a little bit of jealousy, but a little bit of, I think I'm just scared to enter something. I didn't even realize one person thought we were dating until years later when he introduced, I ran into him at an event and he introduced me to a stranger. He's like, oh yeah, Chris and I dated a while back. I was like, I think I'm just very oblivious. That
I can see that.
I'm so oblivious that I don't get jealous because I don't even know we're dating. I mean, I want to date, but I think I'm like so scared of these kinds of things that Bao is going through that I'm kind of scared to date. I think that my issue is like even a precursor to that. I'm scared to get into the drama, really? Seeing all my friends in relationships with their drama. I'm just like, maybe I dodged a bullet. And I think I did that during a lot of my like 30s. I felt like I'm Beyonce. I'm an independent woman. I'm fine. But then the last few years I felt like, oh, it'd be nice to date. But now I'm like, I just don't know where I'm at with it. I don't think I have enough experience with it.
No, I literally had already paused my Hinge profile. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a
A what?
I'm going to. What? So it's our friend who's 50 and has been single most of his life. And I'm going to bleep his name out anyway.
By choice or?
Yeah, somewhat.
I don't know who this is.
Yeah, somewhat. But then had his 50th birthday and it was full of friends and family and love. And I'm like, when I got to that birthday party, I'm like, I could have a life like this. I don't need a partner.
You know, this kind of goes back to Nuri's question. He put the work in. Mm-hmm. He has an international group of friends. He is well-liked some of the time. And he's actually kind of like an angry person, but we all love him because he puts in the work. And I think I learned a lot from him. I got to put in the work. And people will appreciate that time with you.
But yeah. I also think that maybe you guys don't have to put as much of an emphasis on finding a life partner in the sense of like a romantic partner, because you have friends who will be with you for your life, and they are, sometimes your friends are more valuable to you than your romantic partner, right?
Oh no, I'm all about that. And I love that, but I also want, it's in addition to.
It was hard for me to find someone I liked for so long, because I'm like, I sometimes ask the question, would I rather hang out with them than my friends? And sometimes they would lose out. Like, yeah. You know, I did crave like an intimacy that was more than what I can get from my friends. You know what I mean? And I'm not the kind of person who sleeps with my friends for the most part.
No incest.
As opposed to what many people thought, like, for a while. Remember when we were partying, we'd be at the end up at the after hours and people would ask, are you guys open? We're like,
we're not even dating.
Open what? No, are you sure? We're making out with somebody. It's like, who are you and blah, blah, open? I'm like,
people would ask, like, do you fuck all of your friends here? Like, no. We just really like to get high with each other all the time. Okay. I think we've gotten enough into feelings, which is, you know, beyond my comfort zone, as everyone knows. So I want to wrap up the Get Real, which also wraps up our episode.
Lee and Nuri, 'twas a pleasure. Thank you for hopping on to make fun of us for being old and sharing your feelings.
All Nuri. Okay.
That was all me.
All feelings.
No, but we really enjoyed this. All 2.5 hours of the recording. Very excited to see how this final product turns out, and hope that you guys can come on our podcast next time and we can
do
more of this shooting the shit, you know?
Let's do this.
This is a really great two and a half hour spent.
Why do you keep saying 2.5 hours? It was a great experience overall.
I'm trying to emphasize how valuable time is and how much I value this time that we spent together.
Mm. Well, received. Thank you, Lee. And we actually should bring you guys back for the mailbag.
I just really want to do that.
I think we all have different perspectives. It would be funny.
Are you guys ready for me to be extra unhinged?
Yes.
Yeah, please. Of course.
There's like our chaos. We need more chaos.
More chaos, definitely. If people love you or hate you, where can they find you on the socials?
Oh, you can find us on Instagram at Why Won't You Love Yourself or Why Don't You Love Yourself? It's one or the other. I'm not sure.
Oh, God.
Get both of them.
It's one or the other.
It's one of
you can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, et cetera. And I'm not good at promoting us. So if you want to find us, you'll find us.
Yeah.
And you can follow us at Literally Gaysians on YouTube. That's new. TikTok, Instagram, and Patreon. Support us. Subscribe.
Will there be nudes?
Maybe.
You should do it.
Nude feelings.
No one wants that.
And in true form, because I was not prepared, I'm just reading from a script now. Insert joke here. Till next time, bye.
Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.